KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:08, we have cloudy skies, 73 degrees in Atlantic. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms this morning, a high around 93. There is a heat advisory that goes into effect at noon and lasts until 8 a.m., or actually 8 p.m. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Weather Service says a severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 8:15 a.m. for northeastern Harrison and northwestern Shelby counties. A little after 8 a.m., a severe thunderstorm was located near Dunlap, moving to the east at 25 miles per hour. The storm is capable of producing 70-mile-per-hour winds and quarter-sized hail. It is radar-indicated. And expect considerable tree damage. Wind damage is also likely to mobile homes, roofs, and outbuildings. The storm will be near Defiance in about another 6 minutes. Also, the National Weather Service has issued a special weather statement for Audubon, Sac, Calhoun, Greene, Pocahontas, and Crawford and Carroll counties. They say that the strong thunderstorms that have been slowly moving their way across portions of western Iowa will impact portions of northwestern Greene, northwestern Guthrie, northwestern Audubon, southern Pocahontas, eastern Sac, Calhoun, eastern Crawford, and Carroll counties for about the next 50 minutes or so. And a Doppler radar was tracking the strong thunderstorms along the line from extending from about Newell to 10 miles south of Black Hawk Lake to Erling. The movement was east at 35 miles per hour, and the storms are capable producing winds of up to 50 miles per hour and petty-sized hail. As a result, some gusty winds could knock down tree limbs and blow around unsecured objects. Minor property damage is also possible. Again, that's a weather statement for those counties I mentioned. And if you're outdoors this morning, you want to seek shelter in a sturdy building. Well, taking a look at the news this morning here on KJAN, the Atlantic City Council is expected to act in an upcoming meeting on going out for bids when it comes to the July 2022 city-sponsored fireworks display. The city's Personnel and Finance Committee met Wednesday evening and voted to recommend the city move forward and solicit bids over the next few weeks. As we've mentioned previously, the city had received numerous complaints from its citizens following the 4th of July show this year when the company the city hired, J&M Displays, fireworks program turned out to be less than impressive than many had hoped. The show lasted for only about 11 minutes. After the company received the city's complaint, J&M offered to give the community a free show valued at $6,000, but they would have to hold next year's show on July the 2nd. The city rejected the offer and terminated the contract. Elsewhere in the news, the mother of two young students in Council Bluffs is suing Governor Kim Reynolds over the law she signed that bans schools from requiring face masks. Fran Parr has twin sons in first grade. Parr said she's fighting for the safety of in-person learning.
I hope we get some recognition of the risk that this Delta variant really is to the unvaccinated and to children.
Parr's lawsuit names also the Iowa Department of Education as a defendant. It's the first lawsuit filed to challenge the law that Reynolds signed in May. Parr says thousands of kids under the age of 12 aren't eligible for the COVID vaccine, and Iowa is poised for super spreader events in every Iowa school.
So if my kids were in a class, a kid had COVID or was found to be COVID positive, but he was masked, that would make me feel a lot more comfortable that, hey, no, we're still managing this. We're still doing the best that we can.
Governor Reynolds had said it should be parents who decide whether their children wear masks at school or not. Officials of the Iowa Department of Public Health say, like most of the country, Iowa has experienced an increase in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in recent weeks. In their statement issued Wednesday evening, the IDPH says because of the success of our vaccine campaign, current numbers are a fraction of what they were in November of 2020 when the state experienced its highest level of virus activity. Health officials say the majority of current COVID-19 hospitalizations are among unvaccinated Iowans. On August 25th, which was yesterday, 79% of individuals hospitalized with a primary COVID-19 diagnosis were not vaccinated, and 86% of the patients in the ICU were not vaccinated before becoming infected. The hospitalization rate is currently highest among middle-aged to older adults. 87% of those hospitalized are aged 40 or older. Children under the age of 18 account for just 2% of COVID-19 hospitalizations, according to the DPH. IDPH Interim Director Kelly Garcia says we have many tools we need to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe, and the single most important tool we have is the vaccine, which is highly effective at preventing serious illness, hospitalization, and death. Garcia says for anyone who is waiting for the assurance of full FDA authorization, I urge you to schedule your appointment today. Preventing avoidable COVID-19 hospitalizations, officials say, also helps to preserve healthcare resources for other needs, including illnesses, injuries, and emergencies. Some Iowa hospitals have recently reported an increase in hospitalizations among children with RSV, limiting their bed capacity for other patients. As of Wednesday, IDPH was reporting 42 additional deaths due to COVID-19. The deaths occurred over a four-week period from July 24th through August 22nd, 2021. And the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital has received the American Heart Association's Gold Plus Get With the Guidance Stroke Quality Achievement Award for its commitment to ensuring stroke patients receive the most appropriate treatment according to nationally recognized research-based guidelines. Stroke is the number five cause of death and leading cause of adult obesity in the U.S. On average, someone in the U.S. suffers a stroke every 40 seconds, and nearly 795,000 people suffer a new or recurrent stroke each year. Early stroke detection, officials say, and treatment are the key to improving survival, minimizing disability, and speeding recovery times. There's more in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. I'm Rick Henson reporting.